Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Let us experience the glory of your greatness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your greatness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your greatness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Just lift up your hands. Just raise up your hands where you stand.
Your presence.
Oh, yes, we say welcome in this place. Holy Spirit of God, whatever place we're at, wherever we are right now, you know us, you know every day recorded before it even comes to pass. And you've promised to empower us, to give us wisdom. You've promised to fill us with courage. And you've promised to teach us and to remind us what to say when we need to say something. And with boldness, they went out and testified to the Lord Jesus Christ. And great boldness was upon them. And the Holy Spirit filled the place where they were assembled. And the place was shaken. Shaken. Even as individuals are being shaken. Even as we heard the shaking of a woman's prayer this morning. A passionate shaking is taking place in individuals, in families, in communities. And we say, Lord, Racha, in our midst. We don't have to wait for a revival meeting, but in our lives, in our days, in the coming weeks, when we rise in the morning from the rising of the sun till the setting of the same, Spirit of God, fall afresh. It's okay. Now, sometimes Jesus would go into marketplaces, and while he was teaching, strange things happened around him. But his focus was always on what is the Father saying? Jesus' focus was always the Son only does what he sees his Father doing. And he was undistracted by even the needs of people or the requests or the expectations. He even arrived one time 3 days late for a funeral. He laid his hands on lepers before they'd gone the protocol route. But he iterated that he was here to do what he sees the Father doing. Can that be said of us, church? Not just on a Sunday morning. I'm talking about tomorrow when you go to the office. Wednesday when you're at that meeting. Thursday when you're in the traffic coming home. Friday, Saturday. We've just sung a song of prayer. That Holy Spirit, you're welcome. There's nothing worth more. And heaven comes close. So don't you want to just pray this prayer with me this morning? Holy Spirit, there's nothing worth more. And there's nothing that comes close to your presence. Fill me afresh. Light the fuse. And set me on fire for your glory. For your glory. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, let's just thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just, you know, I'm always scared of compartmentalizing things. Like, okay, well, that was a time for God to do what he wanted to do in people's lives. Now we're moving from that into the next thing. I like to think our lives are one big flow. So God was no more real over breakfast this morning than he was tangible in a time of worship. But just worship helps us focus and put aside and come aside. And don't you think the music team did so well this morning? They really did. And I tell you, there's a lot of practice and rehearsal and work that goes on behind the scenes that you're not a musician in a worship team, you probably don't know anything about. And thanks to them. And the guys that helped them at the back over there. On the sound, I mean, words come up. Was it nice when words come up at the right time? You're not singing, Holy Spirit, welcome in this place, and the words of Hosanna, Hosanna are coming up on the screen, you know? All those things happening is because people put their hands up to do it. Amen? That's why that leadership training when Rob is out before the conference, I think is such a good time for you to put your hands up. Did I say you? I was thinking of you when I said that. You. And say, God, for such a time as this, let me put my hand up. Amen. Amen. Sad news, good news. Passing away of our dear, lovely sister, Shirley Glendon. Last week, went to be with the Lord. And it's always bittersweet because in one sense, she's glorified. She sees the face of her Savior. She's in a body that will never get tired of. But sad for the family. Think of Francisco's sister, Francina Glendon, her sister, her kids, Tracy and Gary, Oliver, who were part of this church before they went to New Zealand many years back. Always a little bit, and her husband, of course. And thanks to those who are attending and serving them. Fran, you've been a star there. I hope I have a sister like you, and I'll go slowly. But I'm believing to go straight after a sermon one Sunday morning when I'm about 88. Most of you won't be there, but those that are, may the Lord bless them. We're looking. Oh, yes, the good news. Yeah. One person has gone to heaven and one just came from heaven. And they're sitting at the back over there. My son, Rain and Louise, with their little prophet in their hands. Nathan Bear Wheeler. I thought Stephen Wheeler would have probably flowed better. But Nathan's nice. No, Nathan Bear Wheeler. Got enough Stevens in this church. Amen. If I really am in a pickle and I need some help. Stephen! 38 cars. Straight away. Amen. Let me... yes, Jack. Word of knowledge. Lavender something. Yeah. Yeah. I think little things like that aren't stupid. I think little things like that are, God even hears the unspoken requests of our heart. And just something happens, you know, that we were not expecting. And it's nice to have that on our radar, that when those things happen, we quick to thank the Lord. It's a bit, Norma wants to say something. You go, Norma. Hey, no one here minds leaving before 11:30 today.
When the Lord gave me the picture of lavender flowers, I thought I'd got it wrong. I thought, Lord, why lavender flowers? But it was just so strong, so it was lavender flowers.
Lovely. Oh, is lavender a flower?
It is.
Oh, thank you.
And it's a herb, and it's a very soothing, beautiful one.
Okay. Lavender, there you go. Sorry, I've got a degree in theology. What do I know about botany? Oh, give me a break. Can't know everything about everything. That's my wife's job. That's what I trust her to know. You know, some people use Google, I just phone Janet. You know, so I don't know what lavender. Now I know. I thought it was a perfume, actually. Oh, Alec wants her to preach, what? She's good at cooking. I should stay out the kitchen. Yeah, let me stay out the kitchen. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to the conference coming up. I'm looking forward to getting together to pray next Sunday night, Apostle 5 to Apostle 6 next Sunday night, getting together and just calling on the Lord, saying, Lord, we're trusting you for, this city needs revival, come on. Come on, it's not churchianity that's going to change the situation. There's been enough religion floating around for thousands of years with a concept of God out there somewhere, and I've got to appease him and make him happy with me just for my self-preservation. But the gospel is so much more than that. It's so much powerful. It says that we will reign in life through Jesus Christ. The church is yet to reign. The church is yet to walk in the governmental role, that ambassadorial anointing of being a heavenly representative on earth to see heaven's resources affecting and changing the condition on this earth. I don't know about you, but when I look at the news, I'm not happy with the state of affairs. And I'm not just talking about hurricanes and earthquakes. That's frightening enough. Hey, we live in a seriously fallen situation. But I'm talking about the other stuff going on. This deep root of selfishness in people's spirits. And before we judge anyone else, let's be honest about ourselves. That deep-rooted selfishness. And the only cure for that is learning to live for God, recognizing everything I have comes from Him. When I give, it's not mine to I'm giving. I'm a steward of what He's entrusted to me. And that I can be happy when other people are blessed and successful. Because I'm not in competition with them. Their blueprint before God has to measure up, and God's blueprint for me has to measure up. It's not a competition when your neighbor down the road gets a good promotion and can buy a new car for his wife. When we learn to be happy for others, the selfishness is dealt with at the core of our being. And I just look at the news. I look what's going on around me and I just say, we need revival, Lord. We need a move of the Spirit of God in a powerful way. I believe that's what Paul was speaking about in Romans, as we looked last week at Paul's gospel. And I had that acronym drop in my mind, G-O-S-P-E-L, and I traced it through Romans. It was, for me, such an encouraging word to remember that Paul starts off and he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. His very first verse, he says, set apart for the gospel. You see, my friends, let me give you some news you probably know, or maybe you don't. You didn't find God. God found you. if God had not revealed himself, if God had not made himself known, man in his fallenness and foolishness and claiming to be wise, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In foolishness, we would never have come to discover God. That it was our sin that wrecked us and destroyed us. And all those other things that we saw last week are true. Oh, our sin is destructive. Salvation comes through the sacrifice Jesus made. Romans 3:21. Put your confidence in what Jesus achieved. Romans 5. The E, eternal life, is real and it begins right now. Our sister Shirley just discovered that. It's real. Heaven's no joke. Heaven's a real place. It's a real living in a relationship with God without guilt and fear and condemnation. Wow, what a wonderful message. Paul says, this gospel I'm not ashamed of because I know what it can do and it can bring salvation to people. But you see, my friend, God has to reveal himself. We have to take ownership of our sin. We have to recognize there's only one Savior between fallen man and a holy God. And in him, we have to put our full confidence, not in ourselves or what we can do or our abilities, because in him is life and life abundant. And he who finds Jesus finds eternal life, both starting now and also for eternity. And we can live from today without any sense of separation, anxiety. God is not out there needing to be appeased. God is pleased and he's smiling over us. He's just waiting for us to catch up to that truth. I said that a bit fast. He's just waiting for us to catch up to that truth. That he is good. That he's on our side. That he loves us. Bill Johnson was once asked, what's the greatest revelation for this generation? And of all the things he could have said, that he's an anointed, wonderful man of God, he said, the people will learn again that God is really good. Wow. That it? I thought we sang about that at nursery school, those of you who went to nursery school. God is good. But somehow, at a deep level, at a deep subconscious belief system, the lie lurks there. When I saw on Facebook the other day, cited by someone I know, that what's happening in America right now with these terrible hurricanes has got something to do with what Donald Trump said about Israel. I want to burst out crying. I want to burst out crying. What kind of God do we serve? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I know there's people throw all kinds of smoke screens out there. The moment you want to get onto this topic of the gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. The moment you want to speak, you know, a smoke screen, all it is, it's a military device that's either thrown or launched that disorientates the enemy because he loses focus and he loses vision. And that's all most arguments against the gospel are. So the best thing is not to actually get caught up in the smoke screen and get sidetracked. You know, God, why isn't he good? My brother got sick. You know, what about the Bible this? What about other religions? What about Jesus the prophet? He's a good man. Is there a God? If there was a God, da, 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 da. Smoke. And then we get all disorientated. You'll never argue somebody into the kingdom of God. There, I can just save you a whole thing. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some logical evidence and reasoning that we should be acquainted with and knowledgeable about. I think that's fine. I think there are some people genuinely asking questions that can be helped. I'd say 90% smokescreen. Well, I claim to be an atheist. Me. You can't believe that, Janet. You can't believe it. That's what I wrote to my school religion. Atheist. I then got a letter from my parents stating that I didn't have to attend religious instructions at school, because in those days it was compulsory. So I could bunk out without all the, with all the other jailers at school and go hit the smoke while everyone was sitting learning about the Bible. I thought I was an atheist. And I started saying it so much, I started believing it. And then one day, on a real bummer trip, I'm not kidding, I nearly died. I was in hospital 3 days. The doctor said he has overdosed so badly that he's either going to be, if he doesn't die, he'll be brain dead or he'll be blind. Well, I'm not blind. And at the end of this experience, I'm talking, I was like 17 years old or something. At the end of this experience, I was lying in the back garden, staring up at the stars. And something just like, wow, that's big. There's something out there. And I just said, well, whatever's out there, you know, show up anytime you like. Cheers. And the next 3 years of my life were very interesting. You see, a person says he's an atheist, but he's never really logically thought it through, whether he's an atheist. It's quite an interesting conversation that. Look, if he's just denying the existence of God so he can carry on with his promiscuous lifestyle, that's one thing. It's like a robber doesn't want to find the police. Okay? So he's enjoying his lifestyle, and any acknowledgement of another being or force or accountability. Then you get those who are just so busy they're not interested. And you get some that are seeking and struggling to believe. I think the best way to approach a genuine question around, I don't believe, oh, sorry, that was my first point. Okay, so I'm going to speak about counter-arguments to presenting the gospel. So G-O-S-P-E-L, each has an argument attached to it. And I'm not going to get through all of them this morning. I'm probably going to get through one or two at most. But the first one, in God revealed himself, is that I am an atheist. So, God revealed himself, and they say, no, our God, sorry, I need to come back. So here's a thought for an atheist. If I could give you convincing, compelling evidence that there is a God, would you be prepared to try and believe? I'm not saying there's a God, I'm just saying if I could give you compelling evidence. All right? If a person is genuinely seeking, not just running from the police, then very simple logic leads me to think that if there's design in the cosmos, then there's a good chance there's a designer behind it. Although Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's because they corrupt and indeed vile. And Isaac Newton, who was the father of modern science, said that atheism is senseless, meaning not just stupid, but people haven't applied their senses, what you can see, what you can smell. People haven't actually, they're not sensible. Someone claims to be an atheist. Other than that, to say to an atheist, to ask an atheist, would you think of the intelligence and the mental well-being of a person who could believe that this watch on my arm came together because there was an explosion in a mechanical workshop. And all the pieces broke into the exact same sizes and shapes, and even a piece of leather from the bookcase spun through space and hooked onto a buckle and attached itself through a pin onto the side of the clock. And the wheel started turning, and the time went right, and it keeps time perfectly according to the solar system. What would you think of the mental composition, the mental intelligence of someone who could actually believe that? And that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it is that there wasn't even an engineering workshop in the first place. Because an atheist believes there was nothing. Not empty space. Empty space is something. Empty space had to be created. I'm talking about nothing, not even empty space. So no workshop exploded. You flowing? You tracking with me? So no workshop exploded. These pieces came together. What would you think of the mental intelligence of a person like that? And let me go a step further. Something even more complicated than a watch. The DNA that was in the first cell of your living being that sent out instructions to every cell that multiplied off it and increased to become the right thing at the right place and do the right job. So that little cell, that DNA with all its intricate stuff that the scientists know about, as it divided, it took that message encoded to give instructions to the next multiplication with its own encoded book in it to multiply, so that nail on your finger protects the nerves under the skin, the eye is green, the hair is brown, the muscle, the tissue, the heart, the nerve endings, and the reproductive capacity is found in this thing called DNA. What does DNA stand for? Some acid, eh? Dr. Cruz and Master acid. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so exactly what I said. Thank you, Jay. Not only does she know about botany, and is she a woman of God? So in this DNA, it just happened to happen. See, to be an... Let's shelve that. 1 million species of animals that are all different and all have reproductive capacity. What you... Now I'm talking to an atheist here. I'm saying the probability of that watch coming together is a lot less. It's just like a speck in the... a fire compared to this thing called DNA that just happened out of an explosion. You've got to have a lot of faith to believe that nothing caused an explosion that created DNA. You've got to have a lot of faith. Man, if I could believe that. Here's what they've got to believe, that after that happened, the Earth, which is traveling at 93,000 miles an hour, 63,000 miles an hour, 93 million miles from the sun, is at the exact right place that the sun doesn't scorch us or the sun doesn't freeze us. Just the right place. That somehow gravity happened that keeps us going around in circles in such a pattern that seasons can come and go so that food can ripen. And if that's not enough, this inanimate stardust, that's the language Richard Lawton, Dawkins uses. Somehow the stardust that was iron, carbon, metal composite became animate. In other words, it came to life. So that jump, before it could even think of becoming DNA. And that water appeared. And that this man that evolved has the capacity to think, remember, feel, love. What do you think of the mental capacity of someone who calls themselves an atheist? Come on. Come on. Look, if anyone stops long enough to reason with you that far, then it would be quite interesting, because what they've just done is admitted that there's intelligent design is the evidence of an intelligent designer. And if someone believes there's an intelligent designer, then they're no longer an atheist. Oh, yeah, no, but you know. Well, okay, so I'm not an atheist then, and yours... definition of an atheist. I just, maybe there's something out there, it's like a force or something, but oh, a force that's capable of creating personality. Something out there, you're right, there's a force, but it's at least cleverer than us because it made us with intelligence, emotions, thought, purpose, sense of eternity in our hearts. So there's something, I don't know, I can't make the connection back to the Jesus that you... That's okay, we're not there yet. We're still going to get to O-S-P-E-L, you see. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. But honestly, when we sit down and examine that, there are no atheists. Unless he's so stubborn and he just insists and he stands his case, and I've met some people like that. In fact, the Bible has some pretty interesting things. So interesting, now I'm going to have to read them. Is there a reason why Toyota keeps going right? Shake it. It's a sign, huh? Green light's on, man. I just need that verse that popped up. There really is a verse that will come up in a moment. So, back to the conversation. Okay, here we go. All right. Wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For, here's the thing, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, Mr. Dawkins, this is aimed straight at you, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God, of the immortal God, for images, whatever scientific laboratory you want to devise that you think is applicable. Was that the only scripture I had? So, you see, in this conversation, John 3, Ash, is it back? Yeah, this is. Okay, so we've only dealt with the G this morning. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness. There you go, that's the policeman analogy. Instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for then his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Sorry, the last words are cut off on the screen here. So the scripture's quite clear. Now you don't have to read this to the guy you're talking to. Someone doesn't believe there's a God. I think the first thing they've got to be shown is actually they do believe in a God. It might not have traced itself to the S-P-E-L yet. But there's no such thing as a true atheist. And you see, to point that out to somebody is quite important because they've just made a massive leap in just 10, 20, 15 minutes. The moment someone, unlike me, who just was stubborn and rebellious, but for these reasons, can admit that there is intelligent design outside of this design that is at least capable of thought, feeling, memory as its creative, what's been created in its image, the Bible says. You are then moving to the next step. Are you with me so far? I'm kind of sorry I couldn't get through all the G-O-S-P-E-L this morning because it leaves it hanging a bit. But I'm going to leave it right there. Because I can see we're way over our time. I hope you're tracking with me. And if you're not here next Sunday and you listen to the teaching, which you can download on the internet, our website, our Facebook, our podcasts, it'll make sense, these next several arguments that we want to go through. I'm not such a bad person. Why should I believe in the Bible? The Bible's full of contradictions. Do you really believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? What about other religions? God has forgotten me. I met someone who claimed to be Christian. I've tried, but I really can't believe. You see, those arguments aren't going to bring someone to faith in Jesus. But they're going to move some of the smoke away so that the person can see. That's all. Most of the time, the best answer is just, okay, so you don't believe in the Bible. Well, suppose it was true. What do you think about this? And most of the time is, you say you don't believe in God. Okay, well, just imagine there was a God, okay? What do you think he would say to you about this? The best is just to not get into a controversy. But these teachings are going to be designed to just give us a little bit of background information and understanding. That our faith is not illogical. It's not, we didn't walk up the aisle yet to give our lives to Jesus and leave our brains behind and walk back to our seats. But our faith is based on a revelation of Jesus. God revealed himself to anyone who seeks after him. God revealed himself to a delinquent young man. God will reveal himself to a scientist, a Muslim, a Buddhist, anyone out there in the world saying, God, show me yourself. Can we stand up and pray? And thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself. Thank you that you are revealing yourself and you will continue to. And we pray that we leave this place with just a greater sense of, wow, God found me. I didn't find him. This God that put things together so miraculously, who's bigger and greater than I could ever imagine, who knew my unformed body when it was in its mother's womb, saw every day ahead, encoded in that DNA, my color of my eyes, you knew everything about me. And yes, there is a fallenness that's come through sin, and it's marred, and it's scarred, and it's, but even in spite of that, when we look at a beautiful sunset, when we look into a fish tank, when we sit around a fireplace, when we eat a good meal, when we look across forests and snow-capped mountain peaks, even though the world has been marred by sin, and there's fallenness, and there's suffering, in the midst of all that, God's fingerprints are clear. And Lord, it's to you this morning we lift up our hearts. Thank you that you have revealed yourself as God, but you've also revealed yourself through Jesus Christ as God in the flesh. And for every one of us who've put our faith, owned our sin, received the salvation through the sacrifice of God's Son, put our trust in him alone, have received eternal life, and now live in a relationship with you that can never be separated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let us go from this place today with a deep awareness and a gratitude in Jesus' name.